Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
When Moses killed an Egyptian, he feared he might be executed for his behavior. So he fled from Egypt and traveled to Midian, where he met and married Zipporah, the daughter of Jethro. He remained in Midian for 40 years. At the end of the 40 years, the Lord appeared to Moses. He directed Moses to return to Egypt and to demand of the Pharaoh that he allow the Israelites to leave Egypt, where they had been in bondage for over 400 years. Moses gave excuses for not readily accepting God's commission to lead the nation of Israel. But he reluctantly obeyed the voice of God. God told him to go before the Pharaoh and say, "Thus says the Lord God, Israel is my son, my firstborn. And I say unto you, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if you refuse to let him go, I will slay your son, even your firstborn." Exodus 4, 22 and 23. As Moses was making his way from Midian to Egypt, God said to Aaron, the only brother of Moses, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." And he went and met him at the mount of God and kissed him. Exodus 4, 27. God commanded Aaron, an old man, to meet Moses about halfway between Midian and Egypt. The place of the meeting was to be Horeb, called in this verse the Mount of God. Aaron went and met Moses at the designated place. He kissed his brother, whom he had not seen in 40 years. They had no telephones or fax machines or email, so they probably had had no contact for those 40 years Moses had been in Midian. What a joyful meeting it must have been. The Lord appeared to Moses and to Aaron. So it is possible that the two brothers had learned about each other through the revelation God had made to them. This we know. The two brothers were in for some rough sledding for the next 40 years. They made grievous mistakes, but they eventually led Israel to Canaan. But God did not permit either Moses or Aaron to enter the promised land. They had sinned against God and were punished for it. When the two brothers met at Horeb, Moses related to Aaron all that God had said to him. We have only a brief outline of God's message to Moses, but we know enough to understand what was transpiring. Moses and Aaron were to follow God's instructions and to lead Israel out of Egypt to the land flowing with milk and honey. The two brothers could only imagine how almost impossible their task would be. Moses also explained to Aaron the signs God would give them to convince the Pharaoh to let the Israelites leave Egypt. Those signs were designed to authenticate Moses and Aaron as God's spokesman. After all, why would the most powerful monarch in the world, the Egyptian Pharaoh, listen to slaves? What did the Pharaoh have to fear from men who had no standing army and very few, if any, weapons of war? God had to intervene to convince Pharaoh to let God's people go. The miracles God enabled Moses and Aaron to perform were designed to prove to Pharaoh and the Egyptian leaders that Moses and Aaron were truly speaking for God. Can you imagine how crazy the Pharaoh thought Moses and Aaron were to demand that he let the people go? But when the Pharaoh witnessed the spectacular miracles Moses and Aaron performed, he could not doubt that God was working through them to free the slaves in Goshen. Have you ever wondered about the great miracles on Pentecost? When Peter stood before that Jewish audience of many thousands, how could he convince the Jews that the law of Moses had come to an end and a new day had arrived? God said to the Jews, in effect, "My miracles prove to you that these men are my preachers. They are telling you what I want them to hear." Honest men and women on the day of Pentecost recognized that God was responsible for the events of that great day. 3,000 people repented of their sins and were baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. Acts 2:38 through 41. That was the beginning of the New Testament church. Thank you, and may God bless you.